Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. You've probably heard of Bitcoin. You might even know someone who's been investing in it. But do you have any idea what a Bitcoin is or what so-called cryptocurrencies are? That's our goal for the rest of this hour, to try to get a handle on just what Bitcoin is and what digital currencies are in general. I'm joined in studio by David Marchetti. He's been a Bitcoin investor for about 4 years. David, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And we'd like to hear from you. Are you a Bitcoin investor? Or maybe you have just questions about Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies in general. You can join our conversation by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Or you can ask a question on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Okay, David, let's start from the basics. How do you describe Bitcoin to somebody who has no idea what you're talking about? What's your basic explanation?
All right. So Bitcoin is basically a digital form of currency. It is not physical. And it's I guess you could say it's like a kind of like a credit card. You don't really have that paper trail to make transactions. So they're all done online. Now, Bitcoin is used a lot by the technology companies. I would say they're starting to accept it as a form of payment, and it's generated. You know, it's a currency, so you may be thinking, well, how is it? You know, we print money, physical money. Bitcoin is basically generated by people who maintain the network of Bitcoin. So it's. I mean, if you want to get into that a little more later, we can. But it's basically a digital form of payment.
Okay. So how did you wind up in this world of Bitcoin?
4 years ago, I was getting out of high school. I basically heard about it through friends. I was on, you know, online a lot, playing a lot of video games, as everybody my age was. And somebody had mentioned it to me, and I grasped my head around the concept, and I got into it on a smaller scale. Back then, it wasn't as big as it was now. And I
Real quick, what is Bitcoin worth right now? Let's try to paint that picture, and then we can go back in time.
Currently, one Bitcoin is equivalent to about 9,600 USD.
Wow.
Going towards 10,000. So,
and how much was it when you first got involved?
500, not barely anything.
And that seemed like a lot at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was definitely a lot for someone just out of high school. I mean, yeah, definitely. But I put my money behind it because I was like, you know, what got me was that, you know, I had something that was $300 one day, and then it went to like $330 the next day, and I made easy $30, and that's what hooked me. You know, that's what hooked me.
So how many Bitcoins did you have then?
Oh,
and give me a scope of your.
I probably started with one or two. And now I day trade, so it's kind of a good source of income. So I'll day trade it. Sometimes I'll have less than I'll have probably one, maybe two. But what I'll do is trade other cryptocurrencies as well. I'm chasing the profit there, not necessarily.
So how do you trade it when you say you day trade it? What is the mechanism by which that happens?
Yeah, so just like E-Trade or any kind of stock, they have like online markets, you know. It's all computer-based. Now, there's different companies that you can facilitate the purchase and the, you know, selling of Bitcoin. They work like a, you know, exchange house, kind of, you know, like E-Trade is for stocks, and you can kind of sell it that way.
We're discussing Bitcoin today. If you'd like to join our conversation, the number is 877-428-8255. I'm joined in studio by David Marchetti. He's been a Bitcoin investor for about 4 years. What are your questions about Bitcoin? We'd love to hear from you. You can also ask questions on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So I was reading up on Bitcoin, and this is something I followed over the years, so I'm not a complete novice to it, but I read an interesting comment on a Reddit thread over the weekend that I want to read to you now and get your take on it. Somebody said they went to a local blockchain meetup, and then we'll explain how blockchain is connected to Bitcoin here in a minute. Most of the group was people whose friends had told them that they can make a lot of money buying Bitcoin. There was a plumber, a painter, a decorator, a health worker, a police officer trainee, and an office worker. There was even a 13-year-old looking to invest. But they didn't know anything about what Bitcoin was. They were just all being told how great it is and how they should invest because the returns are incredible. He says it scared the bleep out of him, and it felt similar to the movie The Big Short. So what are your what's your take on the point? We've reached a point where people are investing it just because it's an investment, not because of what it is or how it's made or what it can accomplish. Does that make sense? Like what's your
– yeah.
Where are you as an investor
sure.
in that spectrum?
I started out as a pretty big proponent of Bitcoin in the concept. Once I got into it, I really enjoyed it. The goal of Bitcoin is to replace, typical currency, money currency, and it's global too, so all of it. I went from kind of, thinking, yeah, that's great to kind of I'm making money here now. I'm going to keep doing it to make money. Now that it's off its, starting stages, it's really not going anywhere, I mean, except up. I mean, it's got its roots in. It's going to be a really good, financial investment for anybody. But yeah, I went from being a advocate of the technology behind it and its purpose. And I still am. I mean, if people ask if it's a great investment, if the concept's great, yeah, I'll back it 100%. But I've also made good amounts of money doing it. So
you're not concerned that there's a bubble, or at some point there's going to be a recorrection down somewhere between 9,000 and 300.
There's always corrections and there's always bubbles. There's not going to be like anything like the housing crisis kind of bubble where everything just plummeted quickly and doesn't recover. And it can dip, but for day traders, that's when you know when to sell and you know when to buy. I love bubbles. I like corrections. That's when I buy. So, you can be worried about it, but in the long term, it's up. Short term could go up, could go down, but it's always gonna go up.
Okay, let's try to explain to everyone listening in the simplest terms possible what it means to be a distributed currency. So, there's this idea of a blockchain, which is basically, as I understand it, a public ledger of transactions that has been distributed over all of the different computers of people who are working in this Bitcoin realm. And that way, when you buy a Bitcoin, that actual transaction gets added to that
ledger,
that chain, that ledger, and distributed out to everybody. And that's how its integrity is determined and kept. Is that a correct assessment?
Right, right. So with the current banks and conventional banks, you have it's centralized. You got to go through the bank to get money or to put money somewhere to send money. They have all the information, which can lead to some, kind of sketchy stuff. Like I know Wells Fargo was doing sketchy stuff with, accounts, signing people up for savings accounts they didn't want. And people only found out about it because it was leaked. But otherwise, it would have been kept, locked up tight. So the integrity of Bitcoin's blockchain is kind of maintained because everybody can see what's going on. If someone says, hey, what's going on here, throw red flags up. And that kind of keeps people from doing shady things with it, things, that wouldn't be good for your bottom line. But everybody being able to see what's going on with the currency is what keeps the integrity of it, keeps it alive and keeps it from being a scam.
So we hear about Bitcoins being mined. Try to explain that in simple terms.
So mining Bitcoins is basically is how you acquire it. We print our money. We print our paper money. Bitcoin is termed mining. It's gathered. Basically, the blockchain is run off of, tons of different computers basically mining the Bitcoin. Now, you may ask, what are they actually doing? Why are they, getting Bitcoin if Bitcoin is money? Are they doing nothing? The blockchain requires confirmations, just like your bank says, hey, somebody sent you $200. Well, someone's got to be doing the work letting you know that you've gotten your money or you've sent it. And miners do that. They have large computer systems, sometimes smaller, that check these bits of data being sent, back and forth through the blockchain. And as, a reward or as payment, they get Bitcoin, smaller amounts, of course. But
And early on in the process, it was easier to, quote unquote, mine a Bitcoin than it is now. And the further we get, the harder it gets to where now you're hearing stories of, server farms in foreign countries that just have thousands of really high-end computers that are doing this math. Is that correct?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. So when Bitcoin, back in 2012-ish, That was kind of when Bitcoin mining was kind of not profitable anymore for like the average kid like me. What they used to do was, you know, everybody used to run it off of you know, your computer's processor, which, I mean, if you're not computer savvy, it's basically like the brain of the computer. Then that you have the graphics processor. They found out that that was a lot more efficient to run, you know, to maintain the blockchain with. But then eventually they decided, you know, why are we just using a bunch of graphics processors when we can take the bits and pieces out of those processors that really do the best job of mining and make a machine. So now they have the ASIC miners that are just specifically optimized for mining Bitcoin. Yeah.
So these are basically computers that run on brains that are actually the processors and graphics cards, which are just, for whatever reason, able to do the math fast enough to be efficient enough to actually have a profit margin.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have a lot of them. And they have to – it costs a lot of electricity to run these. And they're not computers like you think. They have like a computer screen. They're just big, boring boxes with a bunch of
just monitoring transactions and just doing a whole lot of math constantly.
Exactly.
Another thing that I read in my research for the show actually was that at this current point in time, the amount of electricity being used to mine Bitcoin is now reaching levels where it's almost like – more electricity than Ireland uses in a year is being used to make Bitcoin. That's and that's going to just keep going up, right? Is that scalable? I mean, is the long-term prospects of Bitcoin scalable in terms of the amount of resources required to create the next coin?
Well, I would say the resources are they're scalable, right? What they do is they come out with better, faster machines, and that kind of you know, they get more efficient. But in the long term, unless we find an actual way to control the electricity output, it's just going to get worse and worse. Yeah. The thing is, too, is when the difficulty of these processes increase. So it's not always a standard, use this much electricity and it takes this long to mine the Bitcoin, you get your profit per hour. But that difficulty always goes up. So unless you keep investing, or these big companies keep investing in infrastructure and electricity to run these machines, it's just going to – and environmentally, I guess too.
That was the gist of the story that I was reading, was they were trying to do the math of, you know, the carbon footprint of Bitcoin, if you will.
Right. As long as there's money still being made, people aren't going to care about that. It's just going to be a race to see who can – make the better machines, cheaper.
I'm discussing Bitcoin, and we'll get into cryptocurrencies in general here in a minute. My guest is David Marchetti. He's been a Bitcoin investor for about 4 years. We'd like to hear from you. The number to call to join our conversation with a comment or question is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can also ask a question on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So earlier you alluded to the fact that you're investing in some other cryptocurrencies or digital currencies. By the way, are those synonymous? Cryptocurrency, digital currency, is one a subset of the other?
No. So most cryptocurrencies – as far as I know, all cryptocurrencies are digital currencies.
But not all digital
currencies. Not necessarily, right. Cryptocurrency is the term basic fundamentals. It's so that you can – be anonymous with your transactions. Originally, that was one of the points. Decentralization and anonymity also kind of go together. You can make a transaction or a purchase with Bitcoin, and there's no paper trail. Like with a credit card, it's digital, but you always know who's making it and what you're getting. Or, the transactions between both parties are kind of there in stone. But with Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies in general, if you wanted to, you could be 100% anonymous. Now, if you're thinking, if you don't know who's sending it, somebody could take my money. I send them my Bitcoins that I purchased and someone takes them. That can be an issue. But with the rise of all these tech companies, Apple, Microsoft, Dell, eBay even soon is going to be accepting Bitcoin as payment. So as long as it keeps getting legitimized, It's not going to really be a security issue in terms of that. But yeah, it's
so what are the other digital currencies that you're playing around with?
Currently, there are two forks in the Bitcoin blockchain. One is Bitcoin Cash, and the other is Bitcoin Gold. I don't really mess around with Bitcoin Gold. Bitcoin Cash, early on, I saw that there'd be potential for profit, not necessarily backing the best horse. I'm just in it for the money, So Bitcoin Cash, and there's a smaller coin called Litecoin that I'm really a fan of, just because it kind of has the older nostalgia that Bitcoin had. It has some people still make those old archaic graphical GPU rigs that I was talking about, that you used to be able to mine Bitcoin off of, for Litecoin, and it's the blockchain is more for Litecoin. It's stabler, faster, and the fees are a lot less as a result. That was one of the problems with Bitcoin, was that it was, when you made these digital transactions, you sent your Bitcoin somewhere, it would take up to an hour, the blockchain would, take a fee from that, and it's normally more than most.
Who gets that fee?
It goes back into the blockchain, the blockchain, and then which in turn will pay the miners. There's no big figurehead, fat CEO getting that money, putting it in their pocket. It kind of is used to run itself, if that makes sense.
It does. And you alluded to this now, and I'm not sure if you can speak to it completely, but
sure.
I've in conversations I've had with people who are true experts on blockchain and Bitcoin have expressed concern that the infrastructure can't withhold the weight, that blockchain is getting to be too long, too complicated, that if we have another 15, I think, years before the last Bitcoin is supposed to be released or something along line, that by then you won't have the nimble transactional. We live in a world where if you swipe your credit card, you want it to happen in 5 seconds. And if it's going to take an hour or 2 hours or more, is that a concern in the Bitcoin world?
It loses its practicality. And the speed of the transaction, why would I want to, have this cryptocurrency that takes 3 hours when I could just buy it with cash or credit card in under 10 seconds? So, yeah, that's definitely and that's reasons why, Bitcoin Cash and these other cryptocurrencies shoot off from Bitcoin, because it's that's the point. And with the longer processing times or the transaction times, that's computers running. And I, like we said before, the electricity issue, it could cause a lot of problems potentially for Bitcoin. And it's been really good run so far, and they don't want that to die.
We only have a couple minutes left, but I want to get some clarity here. We have a Twitter comment from a person named Evan who claims that, or says that, Bitcoin is not anonymous because every transaction is public. Can you parse that out?
Yeah, so you can, if you wanted to, you can buy Bitcoin with cash. Someone, meet someone up, they have local Bitcoin markets. You can buy it with cash, and if you have a computer with a wallet on it, you can always run a VPN that doesn't log the sites you visit. And then you can make purchases through that wallet with that machine.
So that's a way to sort of gain anonymity.
Right.
The system itself, if used just straightforwardly, is not anonymous.
Right. So an old-fashioned kind of correlation would be like cash and wearing a mask when you meet with someone to do a transaction, kind of the same way. Yeah, they can see your transaction, but if they don't know who's making the transaction and if there's no way to tie it down, it's truly anonymous.
So do you spend cryptocurrency on anything, or is it just something that you buy and sell for profit or loss?
Yeah. So, of course, Steam or Valve Inc., they're a large software company that specializes in selling video games. They recently accepted Bitcoin. I've bought some computers from Dell with Bitcoin. A lot of places are now accepting it, and I think due to the part that, these companies sell you something for, $300, but tomorrow they just sold you something for $400 because that Bitcoin goes up in price.
Right.
And it's lucrative for them as well. Banks are kind of naysayers publicly, like J.P. Morgan. If you buy Bitcoin, you're an idiot. But at the same time,
in their best interest for Bitcoin to succeed.
Well, right, because they're the centralization of currency. But they also have investments. They're public investments to shareholders, you can see that they also invest in Bitcoin and play with it. So
last question, or it's actually sort of a comment. The
sure.
reason we're doing this show is because I saw in my travels here in Fort Myers a Bitcoin ATM in
yeah.
the store. Have you seen one of those?
Yeah.
Yet?
So yeah, it's great because it really helps with the overall, like I said before, the foothold that Bitcoin has. It's not going to go anywhere. And yeah, that's great that they're it's if anything, it's giving the name out there. People may hear on the news, but if you're going to the mall and you see it every day, it's people start to ask, hey, what is that?
All right. Well, we have to leave it there. We're out of time. I want to thank my guest, David Marchetti, is a Bitcoin investor. He's been doing it for about 4 years. David, thanks for coming in and joining the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. Have a great afternoon.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain. Oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name. We'll be told about the death of old Mt. Gox, about traders trading altar coins and miners mining blocks. But them good old boys back in Illinois and on down through Tennessee, see, they don't care to be a millionaire, they're just wanting to be free. Oh,